1 Peter 2:13. Obey all people who have authority in this world. Obey them because you are servants of the Lord Jesus. First of all, obey the King who rules everyone. 1 Peter 2:13. Obey all people who have authority in this world. Obey them because you are servants of the Lord Jesus. First of all, obey the King who rules everyone. 1 Peter 2:13. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. You can turn your Bibles to Philippians 1:26. Philippians 1:26 and 27. Before we begin, let's take a moment of silent prayer to regain fellowship. For us, that entails the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is our entry point into fellowship and into our relationship. So it's back in tune. And once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can learn and grow and apply the wisdom that we can gain from the Word. So let's take a moment and do that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this night. As always, we are grateful for everything you continually do in our lives. We pray that tonight we can come to a further understanding of your plan for us, who you are, and how we can better serve you. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, Philippians 1:26, and I'll start reading from verse 25. It says, "And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, so that your reason to boast may abound in Christ Jesus with reference to me on account of my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So if you remember, last time we left off on Philippians 1:26, and we were talking about boasting. And this is opened into a new area of the verse where Paul was referring to his purpose. His purpose was to remain, but the purpose for his remaining was for the Philippians' advancement spiritually and also their joy in the faith. And now we're seeing the purpose of that, which is to boast in Christ, so their boasting may abound in Christ, as the scripture puts it. And part of this for us included talking about just purpose in general, God's purpose for our lives. And how we sometimes can lose sight of what that means, or maybe specifically how it relates to us in our circumstances. And that can get a little hazy. And we saw from passages that, like Proverbs 16:3 and Isaiah 55:11, that God always has a purpose. Sometimes we lose sight of that purpose. But the fact remains that the purpose is always there, Sometimes we lose sight of it, though. And where we go from there is that in order for us to regain that sight, the visibility of His purpose for us, we need to not ask the question of what is God's purpose in my life, but ask the question of how can I better serve in my purpose? And how do we do that? We focus on His Word. So that's where we left off about where our purpose is and where our how can we better serve in that purpose. So there first must be the desire for the recognition and also to participate in God's purposes for our lives. And we saw from Proverbs 16:3 that we do that. How do we do that? By committing our works to the Lord is what the verse says. It says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose. Even the wicked for the day of evil. And that brought us around to the word in green here for the boast, which meant the reason to boast, which is why Paul is there, why his main purpose is for being there for the Philippians in the first place. He wants the Philippians to abound in their reason, their cause to boast, not just in what they can do personally, not what they can do in their spiritual growth from a personal standpoint, but boasting in Christ. It has a specific direction here. And so it's the reason to boast. And that, remember, there can be two areas. We said there can be a boasting in man or self or God. So there was one or the other. We can't bring those and we can't have those two together. We can have one or the other. And our examples that we left off talking about is how the Bible refers to when man boasts in himself, it's always in a negative aspect versus boasting in Christ or God is always in the positive. So the first verse was Romans 4:2 that said, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So this is basically saying that if Abraham were for some reason able to save himself through his own works, he would have something to tell you about it, about how he did it in his own power and how he got there. But he doesn't, at least not before God. That was our first example. The next one was the Tower of Babel. This was on a larger scale. And this was man as a collective group seeking his own honor, in his own strength and abilities, seeking to build a tower that reached into heaven. And God didn't appreciate that and therefore dispersed them across the globe. And now we're to our third example, which is Genesis 11:4. It says, come, let us build for ourselves. Sorry, Genesis 3:5. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So we know the outcome of that and what happened. But we can still see, just from that, we can see the desire for knowledge to the point of being like God. There's a glorification in that that Eve was drawn to because of the knowledge that would be gained from that. And we know the outcome of that. It was negative. In fact, it transferred, it made its way to Adam and actually through the entire human race just because of desiring that knowledge, having a desire for that. And in a sense, that's a way to that we can glorify self or boast in self when we have that desire in these things that look to ourselves and our own power to accomplish them. So in each of these cases, we see that the glory or the honor is either drawn to man himself or directed and given to God. And that's the other option that we have. So in each case, mankind is always negatively affected, as we've seen here. So that's because the simple answer to that, why is there always a negative effect when we seek to boast in ourselves? And the simple answer is because we have no reason to boast before God. There's nothing that we can offer as human beings that can give God a reason to smile down on us or want anything that we have to offer that excludes him from the process. Remember, we have the sin nature. So there's nothing that we can stand before God without his help that's worthy of him. Whether it be works, whether it be salvation, whether it be anything you do, it must include God every step of the way. Because remember, we are unworthy from day one. We start off unworthy from the day we're born. And that's really why our entire spiritual life, if you think about it, consists of faith. Faith. Faith is the one thing that relies on the object of your faith. It doesn't rely on us. It starts with salvation, and it goes through the daily growth of your spiritual life, and it relies completely and totally on God. And he designed it to be such because we cannot get through this life without a higher power, without God. We can't do it. As you see every day, turn on the TV. There's a lot of fillers that try to fill that gap, but the fact remains that it can't be done. We need God himself to help us live this life. So, two reasons to boast is what we're seeing, man or God. And we've established those two reasons of boasting. And we said that man's reason is always to glorify himself and is always from his own power, which is in the flesh or in a carnal state, out of fellowship, you could say. And this is the attempt to exclude God from the process. So this type of boasting or glorying is always rooted in self-centeredness or pride. Why is that? It's because we're seeking to bring the glory to ourselves through other people. And as you know, as I know, this can lead to many other bad decisions in life. It starts with maybe something simple as taking the credit in a situation, and it just snowballs from there. Before you know it, you're under intense divine discipline. From that one decision, seeking just that one little bit of accolades, and then it goes from there. So these kind of things can seem harmless, and they are small, but they can always lead to more and more decisions that are in the wrong direction. And, you know, just like anything else in life, there's not necessarily anything wrong with accomplishing something that you did and being proud of that. That's a natural human thing to do. But it always has to be kept in perspective, kept in the right perspective. And that's really what this is referring to. It's not necessarily about what we say. It's not necessarily about what we do. It's about how we think about these things internally. So that's where always the Word of God is always focused first, is in our thought process. We may be proud of something, but how do you think about that internally? How are you internalizing this in your soul? So what you say isn't the issue. It's how you think. Because we must remember that God judges the motivation and true intent of man's heart. And that's really where Paul is going with this, as we'll see. Because he wants to give everyone a reason to boast. Not just here. We need a reason to boast when the believers are judged by their deeds. And that's where this is coming together on what are you boasting in? Where is your boasting found? Is it in yourself or is it in God? And that's where this is going, because Paul is referencing that right here. First of all, by this phrase, and also by a Greek word that he uses, where Christ is referenced as coming on the day of Christ. So this verse is actually a direct reference to that, as we'll see. So what you give credit to, whether it's for life, for your abilities, and we need to ask ourselves this, what do we get? Where do we put our credit? Where do we give it and where do we put it? The way you live life, for your abilities, for your salvation, for your spiritual growth, for your associations, anything in life, anything. Where do we put credit? Who do we give credit to? So we know here in this verse, obviously this is a positive thing. This is why he's here. This is why he's teaching the Word of God. And this is why the Philippians are to grow for just this reason. So that they may abound, their reason may abound to boast in Christ. And we have a couple passages that I think will help us understand just what this means. Because it's kind of like an arbitrary word. If you just say it without specifying what does it mean, what is it referring to? And we can see from Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, if you remember Jeremiah, he was a prophet. He was actually called the weeping prophet because he had such deep feelings for the Jewish people and Jerusalem and where he lived, where he was from. And his mission from God was to preach not the gospel message, but in a sense, condemn the Jews to make them aware of what they were doing, because they were about to get serious judgment from God, and he could hardly even stand seeing them go down that road of rejection of God. And his job was to let them know this, to tell them, hey guys, there's some serious discipline coming your way, which you remember is that happened by King Nebuchadnezzar at their final destruction in 586 BC. So Jeremiah 9:23 is more, this is the Lord's message that Jeremiah is speaking to the Jews. He says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. So notice that we've already seen some of these examples. We've seen the wisdom, we've seen strength, and we've seen the physical property aspect. Verse 24, it says, but let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. So you'll get a lot of answers on what God delights in, but here it says right here that if we understand and know him, we have a reason to boast. He's specifically telling us right here where we are to direct that to. It says that to boast in this, that he understands and knows me. So the word understanding is actually the capacity for rational thought. We need the ability, as we grow spiritually on a daily basis, we have to be able to comprehend rational thought about God and his word in our souls. That's our thinking. That's what we think with throughout the day. Rational thought. And your capacity to do that will expand the more you grow spiritually. Why? Because you are coming to know the person that you love. You're coming to know him and his word through his word. So naturally, your understanding will grow in that area. And that's something that we strive for every day, isn't it? Every day we are striving to understand. That's why I study. That's why you study. We study to understand. What does he want us to know? What does he have? What does his word say? It's here, so we need to understand it. And by understanding, we then come to know him. That's the only way we can do that. We first, logically, understanding comes before knowing. There's so many definitions of this, but that's a no-brainer. You must understand before you can know. And we see so many people that want to skip the understanding part and go right to the knowing. Notice that? Right to the loving before even understanding. And logically, that cannot happen. You have to understand before you can know. In order to love, we must first understand the object of our love. And we must get that where? In the details of his word. That's where we get it. He's given it all to us. And that's how we come to know him. So, I think I left you behind on this one, but that's okay. I'm starting to make a habit out of that. So, and here's the next reference to our word to boast. It says in Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life, this is the written word, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to boast. There's our word, same word. Because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So the day of Christ here, like I mentioned earlier, is referring to the rapture and the judgment of the believers. And we know from passages like 1 Corinthians 4:5, 2 Timothy 4:8, and Revelation 22:12 that these two are connected. These two are connected. Revelation 22:12 says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. So he's coming, not only that, but his reward is with him to render to every man according to what he has done. So this is what Paul is referencing to. 2 Timothy 4:8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. What day is he talking about? And not only me, but also to all have loved his appearing. So he's bringing reward with him. And at that point, we'll test the quality of each man's work, according to 1 Corinthians 3:13. So Paul is reminding the Philippians and us that not only does this passage have to do with the believer's judgment of his works, but it also has to do with the time to gather them. It has to do with the time to gather them. Yes, that is our focus, is to build these reasons to boast up now, because we don't really think a lot about the rapture or the point when it's going to be here, because the reality is we should, because it's imminent. And we don't know when it's going to come. It could come tomorrow. But Paul is reminding us that here, this is the day, this is the life to build on these reasons to boast. Right now, right here. So, and this is why he also says, so that you may abound. And I think this is one of the desires of any Bible teacher, for that matter, or pastor, associate pastor, however you want to look at it. This is all of our desires, I feel. If we sat up here and just talked and there would be no change, there would be no abounding, there would be no reason to come here to do what we do. But that's the desire that the word goes out and it penetrates you and it changes your thinking. And you take that with you and you abound in those reasons to glory in Christ that will also affect your judgment as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because that's eternal effects. And many of these things that we go through in life are eternal in nature, even though we don't always think about it like that, but it is the case. So, and that should be, I feel, every pastor's ultimate goal. And his number one priority will then be to study and teach the Word of God. Study and teach. And I realize that that's not everyone's priority. As we know, we live in a fallen world. But the reality is that we are talking about your life here. We're talking about individuals' lives. And that's important. And the only thing that's going to change that is not the way I dress or what type of socks I wear or what type of people I hang out with or any of those things or how messy I am. I can be pretty messy. What's going to change you is the Word of God. And that's the best thing that I can offer you. And it's not even from me, but it's the best thing that I can give you through me that can allow you to change in your life and go and glorify God because of that. Because I am truly under the belief that when that priority shifts, that number one priority for me shifts from the Word of God, then the priority shifts for the entire church. When it's not about the Word of God, the entire church's mission then shifts. And you can see that in many different areas. I might become a full-time counselor at that point. You get what I'm saying, though. The focus, when it goes away from the teaching and God and His Word, it moves to something else. Programs, maybe. People. Not the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, "Therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God." So the question is for myself, and I think should be you asking yourself, is, will you be praised by God, as this verse says, on this day? When these things are brought to light, because it says that that's what He's going to do. Every single thing that we've done, not the fact that we did it, not what we did, but why you did it, will be brought forward into the light. Isn't that awesome? You got to love that. I mean, all the cards will be folded. Mine too. I might not love it then, but you got to love it because all the cards will be wide open. And that's just part of the beauty of God's justice. And we may not know that now, but we will know it. So if your boasting on this earth is in Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, then yes, because that is that which is good, acceptable, and perfect according to God's righteousness and acceptable to Him. Versus the alternative. Look what I can do. Look what I did. See the difference? So there's a motivation, there's an intent that's hidden underneath that, that a lot of times we, you and I don't see. All we see is the outward facade. We don't see the motivation. We just see, oh wow, look what they did. That seems great. But you know what? It really might not be that great. because they could have stolen the glory right from out of God's hands and took it for themselves. And that's all going to come out at the end. So, isn't that fair? It's perfectly fair. God's always fair. So, but Paul is remaining, we have to remember, just for this reason. Just so they can minimize these things and maximize our reasons to boast in Christ. That's why he's focusing on this right now. The reasons to abound, he says. So there's many reasons to boast. There's many reasons on this earth. But there's only one true, right reason and intention to boast. So if God's word is the only thing to counter this, which it is, because remember, we can boast in one or the other. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we will pick one or the other. Whether it be with a group of people, and it seems very enticing to take that glory at that moment because there's a lot of people involved here. You see how it kind of changes when the pressure's on? Maybe I should take credit for this time because there's just a lot of people and I'll look good in this situation. There's a lot of things to choose from, but the only thing that'll counter this, because as you know, we're going to go in that direction every time because we have a sin nature. The only way to counter that is with the Word of God. That's the only way to counter this type of attitude. The only way. So we have to continue to go in that direction to not only, you can't completely stop that, but you can minimize it. Remember, you're either building one reason, you're either building a case for yourself, or you're building a case for Christ. Where is your glorification going to? That's the point. Paul said in Philippians 2:16, look, it's still on the screen, it says, holding fast to the Word of God. The word hold fast, we're giving explanations on how to do this. It says it means to maintain a grasp onto something. In this case, God's Word. And don't we do that? Hold on to the Word of God. What you have now, don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. It's so easy to let your spiritual life go by the wayside. It's very simple to do. Easy thing to do. It says hold fast to it. And the word indicates making a linear advance. It means to go forward, advance. Because what does he say? He said earlier, so that I will not run in vain. So we maintain a grasp by the daily, consistent intake of God's Word, studying and growing. Are you always going to want to do that? No. You're not going to always want to do that. But does that matter? No. Doesn't mean we don't need to do it. Things get tiring. Whether it be for a good cause or not, you're human. You're not going to wake up every morning full of happiness and ready to start your day. You may not want to study sometimes. But what do? You do it anyways. You do it anyways. And that's the beauty of volition. You can shove your sin nature in a barrel and say, I'm going to ignore you. And I'm going to study God's Word because I know for a fact that's what I'm supposed to do. And you keep doing it. You keep doing it. Because remember that grasp, what does a grasp take? It takes strength. You have to keep holding it, or what will happen? It'll slip away. And that's why he says it right here. Hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast. And how did Paul, and do we, how do we hold fast? He said that too. He says, do not run in vain. Obviously, we know what running means when you talk about the spiritual life. It means to make an effort to advance spiritually. And that was the linear advance we're talking about. He says to not run in vain. And that's to be without spiritual value. How many people live in such a way where they're running in place? Running in place. We have such a great time of defining the spiritual life on our own. This is my idea of the spiritual life, and this is how I'm going to live it. And all of a sudden, they're running in place. Running in place. Running here refers to living the spiritual life as designed by God for the church age believer. Not living the Mosaic law and applying it to the church age or any other thing that we want to make up or define that it's specifically for us. But living it as designed for the church age believer. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run. It's talking about running again. So it's a constant run. There's a holding fast and there's a running. Reminds me of a baton. You ever run a sprint relay? You have to hold on to that baton or the race is toast. If you drop the baton, you can't say, okay, well, you get seconds added too because you dropped the baton. No, you got to go back, grab it, and then catch back up and give it to your man. And that's how the Word of God works. You're running, you're grasping, and you're constantly moving, trying to win the race. That's what we're doing. It's nonstop. It's nonstop. So this includes many different avenues, I guess you could call it, that will take you. It includes many different kinds of people, many different positions that it'll take you, many different scenarios in your life. But the whole time, you're consistent in your run. You're staying consistent and you're holding the baton. You're holding that grasp. So we don't want to be running in place. That means no advance. And usually that entails advancing from the human standpoint with other people. There's an advancement, there's a promotional aspect in this world, and you could be standing still spiritually and running in place. That's a sad thing. So, now, but what is in vain is what? Boasting in self. And ignores the fact that God's way of living is not our way of living. We have to remember that. He has specifically given us everything that we need, including the Holy Spirit, to what? Fill us, guide us, teach us to live life. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? We can't do that. We can't do that on our own. We need that. We have to have that in order to live it. So may abound in Christ. Perisuo means to be over and above, to abound. In the context here, it means to present in abundance. You want to show up with your backpack full. That's what Paul's saying. You're constantly loading it up. You want to show up with it. Full as you can get it. So when we have the correct reason for boasting, we have every reason to glory in the fact that you lived in this life with an old sin nature, odds against you, and you still chose See where the volitional aspect comes in this? You still chose to live it for Christ. Now that's a reason worthy of boasting. Not in yourself, but in the fact that you allowed God and Christ to live through you. That's the reason to boast. That's the real reason to boast. And didn't Paul say that? Not I, but Christ who lives in me. And this type of thinking is definitely not in abundance. We know this. And in a way, we can kind of understand that. Because this is Satan's world. Satan is the lowercase g, God, of this world. And that's just why this word here is in the subjunctive mood. Paul is using this to show us that this is simply a possibility. Simply a possibility. As much as we want to take the volitional aspect out of this, take the responsibility out of this, the subjunctive mood brings it right back in. It's up to you. Each and every one of you. Your lives are completely different from the person next to you. Only you know where your time goes every day. We all make decisions on a moment-by-moment basis. And every one of these decisions are going to count for something. Do you see that? They're all going to count. Whether it be a small decision or a large decision. We have to all make these decisions. And the reality is, we have the ability to choose in the right direction. We do. And this is why, one of the reasons why you got to love the original language. Because Paul brings it right back in, the responsibility. We can't take it or remove it from ourselves. It's on us. Brings it right back in. This is not certain. This is not a certainty. Paul desires it. We can say that for sure. But it's not a guaranteed. It still requires your volition. So just as it requires each one of your daily right decisions to continue down the path to spiritual maturity and beyond, there's nothing that forces us to stay on this path. Nothing at all. And as a matter of fact, just the opposite. There's everything and anything that'll look to detract you, to get you off course, to get you where you're vulnerable in a situation in your life. That's the times when you need to start paying attention. When you're in positions at work where you become more, you have to be around more people, you may become more vulnerable. When you're by yourself, you may be more vulnerable. There's different scenarios that make us more vulnerable, but this doesn't change the fact that this still remains. The subjunctive mood, there's a responsibility, whether you're vulnerable or not. And I think that's a good place to stop. Next time we'll pick up with verse 27. And we'll see what else Paul has to say to the Philippians about abounding. And verse 27 gets into more of what that looks like. What does that look like? And it has to do with our conduct. Our conduct. How we act. Who are we to the world? Not just when we're here, but who are you when you're by yourselves? That's the real you. That's who you are. So that's always interesting, but as we know, the Word of God helps us to smooth these things out in life. If we're not where we need to be now, there's always that direction we can go to get there. So Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you've told us through it. We know your word is truth. We put our faith in your word, and we just pray continually that you will continue to provide us and see us through this life, because we know you will, and you've promised us you will. And we ask that we just want to pray for everyone in our country. Pray for our country as a whole. Pray for those individuals that are sick and in pain. Pray for those who are without Christ. And pray that they may realize who Christ is, because you sent your Son, who is Jesus Christ, to die for everyone. Even the person who rejects you their entire life, you still provided Jesus Christ. You not only loved them, but you loved the world. Your word says you love the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only uniquely born Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We thank you for this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.